from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Fortier.
And I'm Jeffrey Jones.
Now, you may be wondering what's going on with the shows. There's still a little bit of a shakeup. I just want to make sure that you guys realize that the reason why we're a little bit late on the show is actually because Ryan is gone again.
Ryan ran away. He's gone rogue. Is that still topical? It's
gone
not,
rogue?
Eh? Is going rogue topical anymore? No.
No, it's not. You need to. When is the last time you watched a news program, sir?
Yeah, it's true, eh?
Seriously, you don't watch TV.
No, I don't. I'm trying to think. The last time I watched TV was like a Keith Olbermann thing back when like Prop 8 was.
Oh, wait, can
going
I ask
down.
You? Was it on a TV?
No, it was online. I watch all my stuff online. My TV right now is in my bedroom, and the only reason it gets any use at all is because I can't hook up my. My PlayStation 2 to my television.
So my you mean to your monitor?
To my monitor, yes.
Yeah. That's not a lot of use.
No.
It feels archaic.
It's too big.
Problem,
it's got this giant ass. I hate it.
No, that's not... I find with most TVs that you get, you look at the back and you're like, only so few plugs. I can't access you.
I know. I'm looking at my monitor. I looked at my monitor and I'm like... And I don't even have that great a monitor, but it's like this HD monitor with like the VGA, the DVI, and the HDMI. And I'm like... That's adequate. I need that. I can have three devices plugged into it. I look at my other monitor. It's like S-Video and VG and composite, but like they share the same audio inputs. So it's like you choose if you want S-Video or audio, and it's like or composite video. And I'm like, God, you can't use
you
this.
You limited technology.
Like coax cable. What the hell is this garbage?
You know what it reminds me of? Okay. It reminds me of the biological invention of sex.
Yes. How? Go on. They're just, we need more holes?
No. Well, the honest truth is when you look at sex, just as how it works, typically you're going to have a hole or an insertion.
Yes.
Some kind of, yeah. Yes. Some messy is going to happen with lots of forms of sex. It doesn't always look messy to us. I mean, look at a flower. All right?
Yes.
You got a flower and say it's a private part, man. You're walking out in nature. It's nature showing you its vagina and dick, basically. This is what nature is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about developing a shirt that had like a flower on it, and there was a censored thing on one of the petals or pestle.
Like one of the stamen.
I don't even know what they're fucking called.
I'm not a biologist.
I'm really not. But the point is, it would just say, this is pornographic.
Right.
And so not all animal sex or plant sex or that kind of stuff, not all of it seems gross to us.
No.
Sometimes we even put our noses right fat in it and smell it and be like, smells so good.
This
I'm like, you dirty whore.
This is the best smelling dandelion vajayjay. Who smells dandelions? I don't know. Lilac vajayjay. There
we go. Lilac vajayjay. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yeah, so I thought to myself... you know, with a TV plug-in, you always want, or with any technology, you always want more access. You want the ability to shove things in holes and have fusion. And isn't that what we all want? Even
I want three devices working that TV at the same time.
All holes filled with wires.
All holes filled with. Hard silver. I don't know. Hard copper.
There we go. You done it. It took a little while.
It
was like, a labor, but I'll tell you one thing. Yes. In editing, it could be perfect.
It could be.
It's not going to be, though.
No.
This is raw, bitch.
I know. It sucks. It sucks. He doesn't edit.
Speaking of raw, today's show, you guys could probably notice, you're like, what is the show about? Well, actually... Here's the honest truth. It's going to be on a variety of topics of things that I've been thinking about. Mm. They're not going to be really about the news.
I was a last minute. I got a message this morning like, I need you to help me out. My co-host canceled. I'm like, okay. I'll do it.
What I was actually trying to set up is in the coming weeks, I'm setting up more guests that I'm going to be bringing on the show. The first guest is going to be a guy by the name of Tyler Barber. He was the guy who I was supposed to do a podcast with. He has a podcast called Rebel Radio. It's a gaming podcast. It's quite large.
Oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
So cool.
We were supposed to do a show,
well,
but unfortunately, podcasting schedule conflicts arose, and I honestly could not wait until Friday to do the show.
Well, that's fine. I'm not guilty.
I actually wanted to try to fit in a bonus show for the Friday. So they're actually going to be compressed. I'm trying to pull this week off because next week, folks, it's actually vacation time for me.
This is true.
I'm taking 1 week of not producing anything, uh-oh, taking it easy.
I'll have to produce some kind of AWIM podcast on my own.
You can talk to a sock puppet the whole time.
I can. Or I'll get my friend from South Africa.
There you go.
He'll do it. He's a gamer.
You need to talk games with a gamer. I'm sure there are many abound.
I could get my roommate. He just bought the new Blaze Blue, so I'm sure he can enlighten us.
Okay, enough of these nerd tangents for 5 seconds. I want to talk about all the changes that's going on.
All right.
Just to keep informing people, it's a public service announcement before the show. Pay attention to important information coming up next. I'm just taking some time off. This is an opportunity for me to actually reconnect with a very old friendship of mine, a friendship that made me think about what today's topic is going to be about for the show. It's going to be about friendship. I know this is a weird thing to talk about on an atheism show.
We don't have friends.
Yes, we're godless. But you know what? To some degree, I thought, you know, I've been reading a lot of different articles on the internet, and I see the same trend all the time. People are accusing atheists of not having any morals or not being good or not being able to know what love or friendship or all these things because we don't believe in God.
It's as though gullibility is a virtue.
Right. And to some degree, you know, you have to maybe not just remind them that we're just as human as they are, but also to share kind of our thoughts and about some of the very points that they say that we have no understanding of. I'm like, let's look at our understanding from the fucking lens of atheism for a little while.
There you go.
And that's kind of what we're going to be bringing, some bits of sort of atheism, or at least what all of this I find means when there really is no deity controlling things. Because apparently that's important.
When things suddenly become finite.
How more important they are. But back to the point is that this is the purpose of the trip, to rekindle a friendship that I had allowed to some degree to wane. And this is part of my responsibility. It's tough, you know. I think a lot of people out there, they know that there's plenty of friendships that they have that they're just not doing enough to maintain.
Yeah, I'm the same way. There's so many that need nurturing, but it's like, I don't have the energy. I'm too tired.
Yeah, well,
make your friendship convenient to me.
I suppose the appeal of Facebook is the fact that it does make that more manageable, it seems. But I don't find less meaningful.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I don't find the friends that I have on Facebook are anything other than people who want me to help out with their virtual farms. I'm like, I don't know who you are. Why are you sending me chocolate bars and cows? What is going on?
Well, it turns out that when there's no effort put into a friendship, there's no friendship.
Well, that's it. It's like, I don't.
It's not called Friendbook.
Friendbook.
It's called Facebook. They need to know what your face is. Let's interact in a very shallow way. Yeah. See you later.
Yep, exactly. I can afford 5 seconds. I'm going to send you...
You've got 5 seconds in my huge reader where I'm trying to read everybody else's 5 seconds.
I'm going to send you an animated GIF.
That is my reward for
your
friendship.
It's a dancing bunny.
The internet is a meaningful place.
The internet is awesome. Technology is not being wasted.
It made me think a lot about friendship just in general. I suppose it made me think about my friendships themselves. How I essentially, I mean, let's face it, I'm an exhibitionist. I exhibit my friendships with people out there on the net, like pretty hardcore.
That's true.
I have a podcast with you.
That's true.
A podcast with Ryan as well.
Yeah.
I've done podcasts with sort of other friends. I work on projects with friends. I mean, me and Carlos, one of my other friends, I helped him start his business.
Oh, this is LJX.
LJX. I helped another friend sort of start his business as well. The site is actually hosted on a server that he bought with his business monies that I helped encourage him to. That's why I don't pay. Or it didn't pay for it. It was kind of like his, hey, thanks for inspiring me to start my business and stuff like that. And to a large degree, that's how I view my friendships are always sort of like out there in the open.
It's true.
And I wondered how many great things that happen in or are the product of great friendships.
Mm.
I was watching. You ever see the show Spaced?
No, I keep meaning to. I keep meaning to, and I have yet to see it.
Now, if any of you out there are fans of Shaun of the Dead, which, knowing my demographic, it's probably pretty high.
Everybody probably, the second you said Space, is like, Simon Pegg!
Well, some people, joyfully enough, don't even know about the existence of a show that he did years before Shaun of the Dead called Spaced. And the great thing about Spaced is that the reason why I love British comedy is I felt that it was always really about the friendships, and you could always tell that the people who worked on these projects, the reason why the projects were so good, the interaction between the characters, these were real friends that were doing things, that were just messing around.
Well, it's like I got the same vibe from like Kids in the Hall, like the only outsider was Scott Thompson.
It's true.
The same thing. It was just a bunch of guys hanging out and like
and having some fun,
fucking around, and somehow made money.
And if you ever wondered why is it that bromances, we'll call them bromances for now,
sure,
why are they always so productive? Why is it that when you have a great friendship, you can seem to do anything? Why is that?
I think there's a degree of encouragement from the other person. Also. It's fun to work on. I find it's fun to collaborate. Collaborative efforts, I find, are always rewarding.
They can be
frustrating, but I mean, there's also like there's a reward, and you get to share it with someone who's just as vested in the project as you.
Yeah, it's weird too, because this is the interesting thing about humanity. You said reward, and I was hoping that you would use that word because you know me, and
that's one of your buzzwords.
It's one of my fucking buzzwords, and the buzzword here is sort of like when you ask yourself, "What is fundamentally human about me?" What is something that I know that most people enjoy? When you realize that one of those is reward for friendship and cooperation. I mean, a really powerful reward. You think about, hey, how rewarding is it to love people? How rewarding is that? How would you scale that? Let's say of all the rewards you could ever have, if you had to choose one, you'd probably choose that one when you think about it. It is that attractive. And then to realize that that is actually just a natural part of who you are. It's a biological component of you. It's just, that is your nature. Your nature is to find that rewarding. And the thing I find tickles me a little bit is that reward, it's another way to also say kind of pleasure. And that pleasure, the dopamine, all these other kind of things that you get from, these are what we find in recreational drugs. This is what recreational drugs do to your brain. They tap into the mechanisms that you already possess. Drugs don't have a magical happy formula, okay?
Right.
Their formula is to stimulate a part of your brain that already exists. So that great feeling that you have is there. You tap into it every time you do something that's rewarding. That's what you fucking tap into. That's what's so insane about it. I'm like, how rewarding can something get? I'm like, well, how good is heroin? Because honestly, that level of ecstasy is just tapping into what already is there. That's what's so crazy addictive about it. Because once you tap into that, trust me, there's a reason why things become addictive, because you want to keep doing them. And that's how you establish a pattern, a behavior, if you will.
Right.
And most of the time, that behavior is supposed to be good. But when you're tapping into that behavior, it can get pretty messed up.
Using poisons.
It can definitely get messed up. So if you wonder why is there a tendency sometimes for abuse of anything, abuse of drugs, abuse
alcohol.
Or even simpler abuses, like a person who neglects their family for video games.
I know exactly who you're thinking about, too.
Yeah, I bet you do. Anyways, there are plenty of examples of someone taking it too far, but there is behind it a really powerful and useful mechanism, but one that we tap into naturally when we have such things as great friendships, great romances, great loves. It taps into that mechanism that already exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the heart of friendship, in my opinion, and it's the reason why I think that, when I asked you the question, what do you think is so productive about
right.
These friendships. I'm like, the ecstasy of the friendship is what allows creativity to exist. Mm-hmm. You're drunk on your friendships, and when you're drunk, you're more likely to have a great time.
It's true.
How many times, like, how many times, if you think about it, just try to imagine, how many times have you been drunk on a good friendship? You may not realize that you were drunk.
I'm trying to think of, like, I mean, there are times when you just have, like the, you know, day turns around kind of thing. Like, you'd have a really shitty day and just, like, hanging out with the right people just, like, switches.
Yeah, it can change it so amazingly. And it almost to a point where you're like, oh, I forgot that I had a shitty day. When did that happen?
Yeah,
I don't even remember.
Exactly.
And this is sort of like a bit of a tangent, you'll forgive me, but the real thing that I find is cool about a friendship, mm-hmm. and it's part of also the mechanism of why we find it so rewarding and appealing and even why it kind of gives us a little buzz, is that during that buzz, there's a bit of a perception, like a time perception change.
Okay.
It can seem to fly by. It can seem to almost be...
Yeah.
Gone in an instant. Maybe that's almost the weird tragedy of the whole thing, because the best moments are always seem the briefest, even though they were.
In the blink of an eye. Yeah. No, it's true.
In the blink of an eye.
It's true.
It reminds me that because it's always, they always feel so brief, you have to make sure that you have as many as fucking possible.
Yeah, and you have to make sure you friggin' savor them.
not to sound like a Hallmark card.
Not to sound saccharine more than anything. It's the whole, especially recently, at least in my situation, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot to be said for the, you know, celebrating the victories, because, you know, or the good stuff that you get, because it's like few and far between kind of thing. So like you savor it, you hold on to it, because...
Well, they need to last you.
It's got to, exactly. The last good moment has to last you through to the next one. And sometimes there's a whole pile of shit in between the two.
Well, life can be shitty, man.
Life
is, that's the truth about it. I mean, you wonder why are friendships so fucking necessary and so important. You're like, because life can be shitty, dog.
Yep. It's
hard on most
life,
but it is the weird, you know, it is the unfortunate price that we have to pay to be alive, is that, okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
All right, some parts are just going to be awesome, but at the same time, some parts are going to be hell. You're going to fucking, like, sometimes it's going to push you to that, just that limit where you're just like, I can't take it no more. But you know what? You always know that there are going to be those good moments again. It does. Yeah. It keeps you going even when you think that the juice has run out.
Yeah.
It's not really run out, because there's the anticipation.
Yeah.
There's like, but I'll see it again, you motherfucker.
Well,
I'll
once
see
you start
it
to see it take shape, anyway, like not in terms of now. I'm sort of I've sidetracked from the topic of friendship, but in terms of just projects and good things happening. It's like once you see it on the horizon again, it's sort of, you know, it's like if you're running and you're like you can't do it anymore, and all of a sudden you see that finish line, and you're like you get that one little boost of steam.
Yeah, you definitely get your second wind. Yeah. Second winds are cool. I don't have them a lot, but when they happen, do you remember when I had not slept an entire day and I came?
Yes,
and we were recording shit.
Yeah, you were like, I'm just gonna go to like we're gonna record it. We're gonna be in bed by I'm gonna be in bed by 7, and it was like 11 o'clock, and it's like, oh, we did like 3 podcasts. And
it was a pretty crazy.
Yeah,
productive
it was a very
day.
Productive day. It was. I usually get my second winds, which sucks. Is I usually get my second winds right before I'm about to go to bed. But I can't capitalize on them because I'm one of those people who wakes up really early. So, like, I'll suffer the whole day if I do. And it's like, damn it. Now I'm – it's like I got, like, an hour left of my day, and now I'm finally energized. Way to go.
So. I finally caught up.
Yeah, I'm finally ready. I got to go to bed.
I'm ready at midnight. Unfortunately, I wake up at 4.
Exactly. I wake up at 4.
You know what you need? I think you need to use one of those weird sleep cycle things. Ryan did try this a couple of years ago,
like an hour here and an hour
yeah.
there. But didn't that drive him mental?
Oh, it drives everybody mental. I mean, anytime you try to do something that drastic,
so why would
you
I
go
do
mental.
Why are you encouraging me to do this?
Well, it's eventually the mental goes away and you find your own stability. But what you're doing is you're basically shocking your body clock. Because is there really a reason why all that sleep has to be
continuous?
Yeah, continuous. I mean, sleep happens in cycles. Roughly about 45-minute cycles. You just have to make sure that you have enough cycles in a given day.
Right.
And then you're good. So it's a controversial way to try to control the cycle. But remember what I was saying when you try to hack?
Yeah,
your own
that
systems?
Just sounds like a recipe for disaster. I'm still getting over the taking sugar out of my diet thing. Like
I bow down to you, sir. Oh, I can't believe you actually lasted this long. I'll be honest
well,
with you.
I'm
you are
getting,
a sugar junkie.
I'm still getting sugar every now and then from drinks, but.
But you were not just any type of sugar guy.
No, I was like, I was eating sugar. Like, I would eat a dozen donuts for dinner.
Yeah, he would come over because the whole arrangement is that anytime Jeff comes here to do a podcast, I cook him dinner typically.
Yeah.
I feed him.
This is my this is my payment.
So
I don't get any of that fat premium $20.
Well, if anybody wonders where some of the $20 has gone,
it
I would definitely
to, it goes
say,
to garlic cloves and noodles and pasta.
That's right. That's right. Anyways, so that's part of the arrangement. Let it not be said that at least I don't believe in some form of tit for tat.
There we go.
So my tat is
I
foods.
Feed you.
But I have to because this guy would be so bad that he would come back. We would go to the grocery store and we would pick up, say, pasta, garlic, and donuts. We get home. What is he doing? He's eating all the donuts.
I'd get a liter of milk and the donuts, and I would eat. I'd eat six donuts in one sitting, and then I'd be like, "I'm not hungry." And then at like 4 o'clock, I'm tired.
You would have these insane crashes. So meanwhile, we're trying to do something. We finally finish eating, and we're about to just hang out, maybe play some video games or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, "I have this headache, and I don't feel good. I'm gonna go home." Oh,
the Kelsir Breeze.
I wonder why that happened.
I remember one podcast we were doing when it was still in the garage, and I couldn't stop yawning. Like, the whole time I was yawning. It was hilarious.
It was probably, like, 7 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, it was in the afternoon. It was like, 3 or 4. We were doing...
You were yawning at 3.
It was the podcast... This is so, like, off a tangent here. This is not a bonus podcast, is it?
No, this is the free
okay,
one,
so
man.
Whatever, then. You guys have nothing to complain about.
yeah, I like that attitude. Hey, this is free.
This is free. So I can shit on this.
Thank
all
you
I
for
want.
Really
thank
helping
you.
Me out with my whole, hey, we're turning a new leaf. Meanwhile, big F you to everybody who enjoys only the free show.
Hey, the fans love us.
I bet.
I hope.
So where were we going with this?
I feel guilty now. No, it was the one we were talking about where we were talking about Paranormal State or the ghost story one, the horses and the...
I like that show. I listened to
I
it
love,
a while ago.
My favorite shows have always been the shows where we don't talk necessarily about atheism. It's the shows where we trash...
Shit.
trash
talk.
Where we basically take an episode of Unsolved Mysteries and like just make fun of it. Those are my favorite episodes.
Are they? Okay.
Those are my... Where we get like all Penn and Teller bullshit on the shows. Oh, we don't have to be right as long as we're vitriolic enough.
Well, I think that's kind of partly the appeal.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I definitely know that some people, whenever they email me, they're like, yeah, that's the true appeal. I mean, there'll always be a contingent of folks who's like, I really appreciate this part. They'll say, hey, it's informative, which, okay.
No, well, it is, but at the same time, it's like, no, I think it's people like having someone yelling on their behalf.
Really? That's a factor I think is probably pretty large there. Yeah. Odds are you just kind of think to yourself, motherfucker, religion, someone say something?
Think
about
the popular stuff on the internet, like those viral videos and stuff. It's always someone yelling about
people
something.
People are a little bit mad.
Yeah, people just like yelling. It's like, yeah, rah!
I like to yell. I'm a kind of a passionate dude when it comes to certain issues. You know me. Vitriolic is my nature.
This is true.
I mean, even on our other podcast, our gaming podcast, winner is me.
Yeah.
How long did I go on that tangent about computer gaming?
Yeah, it was like a good 20 minutes.
I'm ridiculous.
Like, of a 40-minute podcast. And it was supposed to be like the post-episode wrap-up.
Oh, was it? I don't even remember.
Yikes.
I haven't listened to any of the shows, actually.
They're not bad. I like them. We got to work on some
If
more.
You love... Here's a little plug for it. We'll be doing
this
a couple little
nothing,
plugs for it.
This whole podcast is nothing to do with atheism.
No. They're no. Not too much. Not too much.
It's all good. I'm just calling it so that no one leaves this in your comments. It's like Jeff's aware. The
hey, podcast... something may come up, so fuck you, man.
All right,
I'm
gonna
find something. You'll
find something.
Don't you worry.
All right,
there's gonna be an atheist little wrap up there. I can trust myself to do it. Right. I'll pull it off.
All right, let's see it. I'll see it.
Well, just stop being a hater. But yeah, the plug is me and Jeff have another podcast where we basically just shoot the shit. This is a lot less informative, but it is
Yeah.
You know, it's another friendship that I put online. It's, yeah. If you want to see my exhibition of my friendships with people, yeah. you get to have that when you go to A Winner Is Me.
Exactly. If you want to have a talk, if you want to hear a podcast where the two of us are both kind of equals in terms of knowledge, instead of like, I feel like a substitute teacher. It's like we both know what we're doing.
Substitute teacher.
I'm the.
Well, you're more knowledgeable about video games than I am. Definitely, this is your zone, man. You were pachow, video game guy. If I had questions,
I know it's
come to you, man.
Sad.
I don't mind being the co-host for things. Anyways, you actually usually do a better job as a co-host than a host.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, I feel more free. I feel less constrained. Yeah, I hate being the one that has to sort of like lay down the law about my own thoughts. I can't do that, man. Everybody says always the best shows are the one where Ryan is at least able to rein me back in. Whenever I had a mailbag, for instance, yeah, he keeps me on topic, and people are like, "This is important because you're tangent man."
Yeah, I don't help you with that at all.
No,
I'm a tangent enabler. If there ever was,
if it's a Jeff episode, it's a tangent.
It's
episode.
It's all over the fucking place.
It's going to be so over the place. So that's basically the feel of the other podcast as well.
Exactly.
So that's our little plug. Okay. Yeah. I want to go back to the topic of friendship before we wrap up the show.
All right,
because there's still a lot that I want to say about friendship.
Okay.
The one thing I want to just say and put out there, and this is to people who are listening to the show. Every once in a while, I get a person who sort of like messages me saying, "I'm thinking about starting my own podcast." Lots of people want to.
Yeah.
You know, put their hats in the ring, and they're saying, "Do you have any suggestions? Do you have any advice for me?" And I would be a dick to say, "No, I don't."
You'll never make it in the podcasting industry. Give up now.
Yeah, it's too competitive. It's already oversaturated or blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there's lots of people that feel that way. But no, yeah. my piece of advice actually is if you want to start a podcast, you have to find a great friend to do it with you.
Yeah, you can't. It's got to be the chemistry's got to be there.
Well, you know that the chemistry will be there if it's a great friend, but it's not just about that during the show, because you don't need chemistry during the show. You could have an interview show and that would be fine. But the reason is more like there are times where doing this will seem unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It'll seem almost like it's Bilbo and Frodo trying to drop the ring into the volcano movie 3.
You're thinking Samwise and Frodo.
I'm sorry, Samwise. Thank you for Geek Check.
Sorry, I got to do
that. Samwise and Frodo.
Yeah.
God, I feel like I ruined it.
That's okay.
See, there's one other thing I'd edit if I was a better man. And then I'd never be wrong. But yes, okay. So it sometimes feels like that. But again, I mean, you're going to trudge through dirt when you try to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because, hey, when you finish recording a podcast, that's not the end of the story.
It's work. Like, it really is. Something I'm learning, too, is it's work.
Yep. There's a lot of work to it.
Yeah.
So being able to kind of like, you know, there's a threshold that you get right when you get to a point where you're like, I don't want to work anymore. I don't see the point in this. Why the fuck am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You need to have someone there that's going to believe in it when you don't believe in it.
Yeah.
They will fill in some of those gaps. They'll be like, they will pick you up when you're down.
The co-host has to be able to give a pep talk. Like, that's how it is.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to be able to give each other pep talks. That's how it works.
You have to talk each other up, man. You can't have a good show when everybody's feeling low.
Nope.
That's not a good show.
Not at all. Not at all. Alcohol only does so much.
It can only help so much. Most of the time, it's a hindrance. If you can actually do a show when you're drunk, it's probably because you could do a better show sober. But it's easier to do it when you're drunk. That's why you get drunk.
You don't worry about being smart.
You have to worry about it less.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like,
if that's not an issue, then
I'm the co-host in this one. I can make a fool of myself all I want.
See, this is what I love about being a co-host. It's the sweetest job in the world.
I think homeopathy is right.
Here we go. That was actually a few people. That was one of their favorite episodes.
Homeopathy?
I think we should do a new one just to re-inform everybody, because every once in a while I'll go back and I'll forget, like,
well,
think 10, 15 back, I forget.
I love the episodes where we debunk stuff. Like, I mentioned it already like 5-10 minutes ago, but I love those episodes. No, but I love those episodes because I don't keep up with current events, you know. But if we want to, like, I will tell you, I don't go on, like, I won't go on like MSNBC.com, but I will go on YouTube and watch that clip of James Randi debunking Uri Geller.
Again and again.
I watched it like 100 times.
To be spanked like that.
Seriously, that's what I love.
It's what makes you feel good. Whenever you have a victory and as an atheist,
yeah,
you know what it's like. Like the victories are few and far between.
Yeah, especially, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
One of the things that, remember how I went to go do that conference in North Carolina a little while ago? Well, the people who invited me there, the atheist skeptics and agnostics of the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, they were some of the people that are responsible for the billboards that went up in North Carolina.
All right.
The ones that got defaced. By the religious people.
Felt perfectly entitled to do so, by the way.
Well, and a lot of the big religious bloggers were saying, you know, good for them, and this is the kind of thing that I wouldn't normally condone vandalism, but because it matches my particular set of rigid beliefs, then more power to you. Laws are only meant to be there when they are convenient for me.
Yeah, laws only, the only laws I obey are the ones that coincide with the God ones. The God's law.
But regardless, you know, it just made me think there are few victories. I regard something like that a bit of it being defaced. It's a moral victory, but at the same time, you know, it's not really regarded oftentimes as that. What you hope is that you get those people that are just right on that edge, and they see something like that, and they're like, "That is it. That is it.
Like,
I'm fucking done with this bullshit." They can't even accept the fact that, say, even something as simple as the Pledge of Allegiance, which I am against, by the way, but even something like that was never had any mention of God.
Even though
the person who came up with this was highly religious. That person had at least the respect authority to know, leave it out of it.
Well, this is in terms of that, I mean, the whole U.S. is a religious nation. I mean, I have no respect for that. It's there's a lot of Christians in it, but that doesn't mean it's run by, you know what I mean? Like,
I think the perception is not the reality. I've been reading a whole bunch of books recently. One of them is Heaven, which just talks about it's a book basically about our concept of heaven.
Okay.
And when you read it, and she's just laying out some statistic, the author, about how many people are religious, and she's like, 90% of the people in the United States will say they believe in heaven or blah blah blah. And you look at that and you're saying 90%, I don't fucking believe it. Fuck you, 90%.
I think 90%.
Fuck you.
I think 90% of them might check a religion on a box in a survey, but how many of them are actually? It's like, how many people go to church every week? Like, how many people will say they're Christian, but pretty much are Christian in the sense that they do like midnight mass on Christmas or whatever.
Look, the like, very
you know
fact
what I mean?
The
like
very
the armchair
fact,
religious kind of thing.
The very fact that there are preachers
that
confess to not believing at all while still preaching tells you something very important, to the fact that what comes out of your mouth is not what is in your head all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, maybe I'm even going to be generous and say, I'll give you your 90 to say, yeah, they checkmarked, yes, I believe in God. Sit them down with a couple fucking drinks, and that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, no, there's how many people are religious and how many people are religious, you know? Like, I was back in the day, I was religious. I was a Protestant, and I was super religious. I never read the Bible. Like, but I was religious.
Read it at all?
I read my. This is the dumbest thing.
No. Well, it's gonna probably seem dumb. Hello, you were religious.
Yes, my religious upbringing was. I was part of a group. I was Protestant, and as a religious person, I had set values. But it's like I believed these things because I was religious, or because I believed in God, I believed every word in the Bible was true. But I had like that Bible served to me through Sunday school and through TV and through whatever. Like, you know, you get the little bite-sized chunks of it, you know? So like, yeah, I knew like Noah and Moses and Jesus and whatever, right?
You believed in these stories as being literally true, or what was the deal?
I believed it. I believed everything was literally. Dude, I was an incredibly naive kid. I believed in Santa
Up until you were 14, I know I was I was listening to some of the old shows.
Oh, were you? Yeah,
I was. You had made that confession. I think that whole show, I was laughing at you.
Well, the thing is because at that time I was incredibly naive, and the one thing that I was brought up to believe was you honor your father and your mother, and your mother's not going to lie to you. So if your mom tells you Santa's real,
I love your logic. We could just boil it down like this: parents never lie.
Yeah,
because the Bible says respect, you know,
like
your mother and father.
You don't question your parents. It's like your mom wouldn't lie. So, you know, like this is
that is the worst thing to think. That is literally the worst thing to think.
Well, I know that now. I told you this is stupid. But this is the thing. So I was like, well, and I believed through religion that this and this was like, I remember when my mom passed away in 2007, we went back to the old house to clean stuff up, and I went into my old room, and I had these pro-life bumper stickers all over my walls, like, abortion stops a beating heart.
Oh my God.
I had like three or four of them, and I had this little I was talking to him about this off the air. I had this little plastic fetus that was like the size of a baby at 3 months, and I had these pro-life books, and it was weird because my Bible of choice was actually a Bible that was given to me by a Jehovah's Witness. But like the main plot points were the same.
Right. Actually any of the more fantastical parts. That's the thing about
it. Yeah. No,
they removed, you know, the unicorn.
I had the flood, and then there was like Jezebel, a wicked queen. And there was,
they're distress of women.
Yes. and then there was Revelations, which I always thought was awesome because at that time I was like into Final Fantasy. I was like, man, these are like monsters from Final Fantasy. This is awesome. I get to fight those.
Well, we've known each other now for, we calculated before, about 15 years.
About 15 years.
And we're not old guys. We're both 30. So
wow,
half
he's
of our
30.
Lives. You shut your mouth. You're older than me. Shh, old man.
Hey, I'd like to get a boyfriend at some time. After 30, you're dead in the gay community.
So we've known each other for that long. We also have to wonder how much longer that'll be.
Yeah.
Imagine we're even recording podcasts and we're in our fucking 80s.
Oh, God. Kill me now.
Kill you now?
It's like, this is why I don't believe in God. She gave me prunes.
We could have probably been closer friends or for longer. Mm. But I honestly think that the religious part was probably something that would have definitely caused a problem.
I remember praying for my friend Tim when I found out he was an atheist. I prayed for him. I'm like, how could you not believe in God?
Yeah, I would have not. I remember enough about my personality that I had a great disdain for people who didn't think for themselves. I thought for me that was the biggest mark of, like, if you're a cool guy,
yeah,
you think for yourself.
Well, I did think for myself. It's just that I had, unfortunately, like when I was growing up, I had those, like, I thought within the box, but like I wasn't like, if I disagreed with something, fine, but it was always within those confines.
Well, it's your schema.
It's
the sum of all of your opinions and beliefs, mm-hmm. and what limits that puts. Here's one of the things that you have to understand that I hope people who listen to the show understand is that in your own belief system that you have, there are boundaries, there are limits. You create a sense of otherness naturally. Mm-hmm. That is necessary. There are a range of opinions that you can have about things, and because there is that range, there will sometimes be, you will be faced with a situation where it's like yes or no. Let's take something as simple as rape.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you, within your schema, you obviously have an opinion about rape. This is not an opinion that you're willing to
budge?
To budge on.
No.
And, you know, to some degree, we're always going to accept that those exist. There are boundaries to the things that even we will allow.
Mm-hmm.
But we're lucky enough that at least in today's society, we put degrees to things. You know, there's first, second, third degree murder. We admit that not all murders have the same degree of severity.
Right.
We're willing to be a little bit more open because we understand and we try to empathize with people in situations
unless
that are like
unless it's a third strike. You stole a stick of gum.
You were caught with marijuana for a third time. Life imprisonment.
It's fucking stupid.
Anyways, the point is that you still have to accept and even respect the fact that there are limits to the confines of the box that you think within.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you understand that, and you understand that within that confine is where your free will will, you know, manifest itself, then that's fine. But always, I think, always remember that it is within your interest mm-hmm. to at least, you know, to really be careful about where you put those limits. You have to critically analyze everywhere that that boundary is. You know, you yeah. do like kind of like in Jurassic Park, the first one, where they're like, those creatures are smart. Test the fence. Test every inch of that fence. Find out what things you find morally repulsive, which ones don't. And even the ones you do, examine the arguments for.
Right.
Because you don't even know this. But while you are trying to make up your opinions, you already have this predefined notion about what you're going to believe. It's your prejudice. It's the thing about your personality. It is prejudiced. Okay? Mm-hmm. Any idea that's new, you will first approach it from a prejudiced perspective, even if you think you're the most open-minded guy in the world.
Yeah, well, you always have that base. Yeah.
You and I would argue that when you look... when you look at all the evidence of what we're like, and remember, you, everybody who listens to the show for a long time has realized now that I talk about this a lot because that's the title of the book. We're saying I'm trying to get people to look at themselves as apes, all right, and say, okay, well, we recognize that as apes, we have this natural tendency for prejudice, where there was a study that found that white males and females felt less empathy for people of different colors, and I'm sure you would find that.
I find that kind of repugnant, though.
It's just, but here's the thing. It is a natural impulse. It's not even something that you can control. It's something that you actually have to fight against. You have to fight against some of those things that are natural prejudice because they're not useful. They're a bad instinct.
Not useful.
They're a bad instinct. I'm like, I got news for you, okay? Let's say you were out somewhere, you were just walking along the street, and all of a sudden you heard a loud bang. And like most people, what would be your first instinct?
Hide, I guess.
You'd probably jump, right? You'd probably look around.
Yeah, you'd be startled.
And nothing happens to you.
Right.
Well, how many times when your instinct is kicking in to do something, has it just been a freak out?
Yes, it's true.
It's a really inaccurate mechanism, but it's so fucking useful that even
like when it works
awesome. When you make a false positive all the time, you get kind of like annoyed, but when you make a positive because of that false positive mechanism,
shit, I could have died.
I could have fucking died. All those times you say you were driving your car, all of a sudden, you know, you swerved out of the way. You didn't even know how you did that. And you're like, shit, I almost died. And you didn't realize that you were just tapping into that same mechanism that occasionally sort of freaks out at stuff, you know, and injures you when you do it. You freak out and you bang your arm and you're like, what the fuck? And you're like, well, if this was a car that was swerving towards you and you moved out of the way, you would be, wow, I'm awesome.
You'd be like, I got out of that car accident with nothing but a stubbed toe and a broken elbow.
It's like, I'm awesome.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is that your instinct is generally wrong. And I think that part of our personality, even part of our instinct, is due to the fact that we fight off a lot of our instincts. When we become aware of certain instincts, I think that we separate ourselves from it to some degree. We're like, okay, I have an instinct, but I'm aware of what that instinct creates. And I can make a cognitive choice to not act according to that instinct. Like if my first instinct is to be distrustful of someone just because of something like the color of their skin, this is only an instinct. This is because you naturally create a sense of otherness. Who does not belong to my tribe?
Right.
Usually, typically, the people around you that have a genetic similarity to you. So they probably look like you.
Yep.
So somebody who doesn't look like you is a stranger.
Yep.
And
they stand out.
They stand out. And so your first instinct is going to be, I don't trust them. It is an unfortunate instinct, but here's the cool thing about it. It's an instinct that is essentially driven out relatively quickly. Like, say, I'll take my father as a perfect example. Like, I would describe him as a racist when, I had black friends, and he seemed to always sort of say some underhanded comment or whatever. But it was the, you know, French-Canadian mentality, you know, neck of the woods.
Yeah.
You're going to expect that. But, my sister always had an attraction to darker guys.
It's true. Aren't both of your sisters?
No, only one of them.
Oh, only one of them. Okay.
But, you know, my brother-in-law is a black man. And it forced my father to change his opinion completely on the thing, especially when he met my sister's father-in-law, who is exactly like my father. these two guys, when they met, you realize that if they had lived in the same place, they would be a great bromance. They would just, they became instant friends. They had like this weird kinship. It was odd to watch them go, but they had this weird mutual respect for one another that was obviously there. It was just, it was almost, you know, like instant. They just knew. They sized each other up and they were just like, you,
I'm going to get along with you.
I'm going to get along with you. And I think that to some degree, it really, it was such a great thing for him because, again, you know, what was normally an instinct that was driven in by bad habit can easily be broken once you start empathizing.
Well, it's, you just have to train it.
You have to train it out of you.
Yeah.
And once you train it out of you, you realize, oh, it's no longer an instinct now. It, you know, just like all these other bad habits that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And your life is richer for it. So I think that's the but that's my general point, that you may have like these certain inherent prejudices, even about ideas that you find uncomfortable, that you're just like, I don't know what to do with this idea, or I don't like it at all. And my question is, have you really, really looked into that idea?
Mm.
Or did you already make up your mind right when it was presented?
See, that's the thing is, I'm at that stage where I can recognize if my thinking is bullshit, but I can't act on it yet. I'm like, nope, it's too scary.
Well, you know what? That's a good start. Yeah. That's a fucking better start than where most people usually are, where, you know, you look at someone who's really dogmatic. They just believe in God and that is it. They say, well, there is a heaven. Ryan had family over, and I remember one of his family is like just the friendliest people, and
they're super nice.
And you know, I know they like me. They like me a lot, but they know that there's that thing about me, and it's my atheism, and it grates at them. And every once in a while, like, because they can't debate with me and they can't argue with me, they're not as educated about this as I am, but they're still believing. And every once in a while, you know, the mom will say, "Well, you know, there is a heaven." Just flat out loud, and I'm not gonna say shit to when someone says that. They're like, that's something they're saying for them. They're not saying that for you.
There's a heaven. No, there isn't.
You're really like, I don't need to have that conversation.
Yeah. I'm not gonna piss on your parade.
It's not an invitation to destroy their belief. I only take the invitation of having a conversation if a person is genuinely interested in having their in opening and broadening up their horizon. This is the same reason why I've never fucking turned down anybody that wants to talk to me about religion. I'm not sitting down with them to proselytize. Please.
Nobody changes sides.
No.
At this point, like, it's possible, but
I like to talk to people because I want to see what their arguments are.
I like to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know what I don't know. I want to know whenever they catch me into something saying like, oh, I didn't know about that. All right, well, thank you. It's my practice.
Yeah, it's like, now I know.
Now I know. Now I can go back and I can look at this.
Knowing is half the battle.
Knowing is half the battle. But yeah, I mean, when you're in that stage where you're sort of like, I don't know what to do about my own bias and my own bullshit, and we're always going to be like that. That's just...
Yeah.
You're a human being.
The human tragedy.
Yep. You just... can't know when you're full of shit, dude.
Yeah.
You just don't know. But the cool thing about it is, and this is where your whole free choice comes from, in my opinion, is that you know that, at least.
Yeah. That's a start.
That is a huge start.
Mm.
That is probably the most important start that anyone can make. You're like, holy shit, I'm full of it. I am full of it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I never thought I'd hear Jacob say that.
Well, I was only using it metaphorically.
Damn it. Let's edit that out.
Never. I want to have proof that I was almost humble for like
almost modest, Jacob, for wow. Mark your calendars.
Mark your calendars, folks. He was almost humble. Okay, you know
almost.
What? I think that's a good show.
I think so.
I think that
we did get
it
back onto the whole atheism thing. I'm impressed.
I promise.
I applaud you.
Thank you.
And even though you're a moralist heathen, you kept your word.
You know what? I did warn people that it was going to be a bit of a loose show. These were just thoughts that were on my mind recently. When I don't read the news, I still do some thinking. So just for the next few podcasts, I mean, the life at TGA is going to stabilize soon enough. This is not going on forever. I'm eventually leaving this temporary job that I have and moving back to Good Atheist with a bunch of new stuff. There is actually work being done in the background. Like, I can't do much right now. But there are plans being made of what's going to happen, the shakeup that's going to happen when I can finally devote my full time and attention to it.
There's back to that second wind allegory.
Right, exactly. Yeah. There's a second wind. And, you know, because there's not going to be a show next week or, you know, or a bonus show, no pitch this week. I don't blame you if you don't want to buy memberships right now.
Well,
I'm taking a vacation, so I'm not going to ask for your money when I take a vacation. You can take a vacation from paying me. How about that? It's like, I'll give you that 1 week, everybody. Take a break. Well, I don't get paid weekly, so I guess
people are
going
to demand their $1.25 back.
Well, per week, it actually works out to something like 40 cents.
40 cents, wow.
40 cents or something like that, yeah.
Oh, I was thinking on a month, yeah. Wow.
So I'll give you your 40 cents back?
Yeah, give them their 40 cents.
Well, you know, if a person wants it, they can email me, ask me for my 40 cents. I'll offer it. I mean, if there's going to be some people that are going to do it, I would just like to know who these people are.
Yeah,
if you want your 40 cents.
You got to sign your real name to that email.
No anonymous. I want to talk to you if you want your 40 cents back.
There we go.
Okay, well, with that, we'll catch everybody on, I guess it's August 10th.
Something like that.
That I think I'm back. August 9th or 10th, which is when we're going to do the next show. So in the meantime, hopefully you guys haven't listened to every single one of the shows. There's a whole bunch of free shows that you can go back and listen to. We're at episode 101, man.
This is 101?
This is 101.
Woo!
So there's plenty of bonus stuff not bonus stuff, but there's plenty
fun
of old
stuff.
Shows.
Yeah.
I'm going to work on trying to get... I realize that in the first few ones, there's a few missing. Mm-hmm. If you are out there... and you still have those copies of the shows. I don't. I am missing a few. Please email me, jacobfortan@gmail.com. I'd like to put them up. I've had lots of requests. I don't know why I'm not putting it up. I really want to fill in the gaps for you guys. I think like episode 15 is missing, episode 4, a whole bunch of them. I have a list somewhere mm-hmm. of all the missing episodes. So I'd like to fill in the gaps. And if anybody can help me on that, please. I don't know if you guys remember, but back when we did a switch, the first time I did the switch for Good Atheist for a new
server, lost it.
I lost... a good like 40 episodes.
Fuck.
It was bad, but luckily a fan sent me some, but I think that they were missing a few. So I'm putting a call out to everybody.
Call to arms.
And another thing too, and this is something that I just want to end with. It's something I've been thinking about a lot. I know there are people out there that I would really love to listen to the bonus show, but the honest truth is they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started two things that as a way of offering bonus content for people without paying for it, but rather working for it or bartering for it. So the first thing that I've offered is that I'm trying to write transcripts of these podcasts, specific transcripts, and I'm looking for volunteers. So if you love the show, you have free time and you type pretty fast, you can email me at jacobfortan@gmail.com and I'll give you some tasks. You'll probably have to do like 10 bonus shows or something like that of transcribing. And you're going to get your free membership for the year. And if you don't want to do that, but you are a gamer.
Mm-hmm. Someone got a PS3.
You are a gamer. Then I'm willing to sort of like accept games as barter. Because there's a couple fans out there. They're in their teens. They don't have a credit card, that kind of stuff. And they don't want to ask their parents, who are religious, to buy the show. And I'm like... send me a video game, dude.
Like the old, like your old stuff that you just can't sell on EB Games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They don't give you good money for it anyway.
Right. I mean, you know what? I am a gamer. That's mm-hmm. the honest truth. That is like my one vice. But I don't want to, you know, like if I
it's
can
just
have
an expensive hobby.
It is an expensive hobby that I can't afford. Yeah. So I would be spending that money if I had it on games. So why not? Why not offer games? It's easy to ship. People can definitely do it. There's again, they can email me if they want to do a barter thing. I'm fucking more than happy to look at other ways of just saying, oh, go to PayPal and give me some money. I'm open to barter. So if anybody's willing to sort of say, I can't afford the show, but I'm be willing to barter, you know what? Let's fucking go for it. I will barter with you. We're going to barter memberships because why the fuck not? I can do what I want.
My podcast.
My podcast. I'll cry if I want to. All right, that's our little spiel for the end. Some of the new weird things that I've been thinking about and trying to implement. But yes, again, we'd like to thank everybody for listening, and we're going to catch everybody real soon. Jeff, thank you for doing the show with me, and
thank you
for being my friend.
Thank you. Should we play the Golden Girls theme?
No, I can't. It's copyright. We're just going to have to end it with a normal
Assume there's the Golden Girls theme playing us out.
Yeah, just listen to it in your head.
Shady Pines, Ma.
All right, my name is Jenkin Forte.
And I'm Blanche Devereaux.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody. Cheers.